News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, the Public Affairs Office at NAS Pensacola.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Stepping on my way. Good morning. You give me strength. You give me just what I need. And I can feel the hope that's rising in me. It's a good morning.
Morning 906. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for joining me this morning and our experts. We love hearing from you, so you can text in or call if you have a question or a comment, 850-437-1620. Or if you would like to share your experience of going on base this past weekend and you, alongside so many others, stuffed yourselves into the museum. I'm sure it was also a good time. And we're going to get some more information, not only on base access, which we talk about a lot here on News Radio, because it is important to us. Our military activity is very important, and a lot of bases around the country don't have access like we do to be able to enjoy the amenities that we have on base, the lighthouse and the museum. And so we're going to talk actually even more about training as well. So here joining me this morning from the Public Affairs Office, we have Jason Bortz, who is the NAS Pensacola Public Affairs Officer, as well as Bruce Kemmons, who is the NAS Pensacola Deputy Public Affairs Officer. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Well, I'm excited because I kind of want to just review the weekend and ask you both. So were you both there as we welcomed the community onto the base again?
Bruce was there on Saturday. I live close to the base, so I just kind of hung around the base in case I was needed.
Okay.
Yes, but it was definitely a large crowd there. About 6,000 people showed up over the weekend, which is really good. That's a good number to have coming in.
Oh my gosh, that's really good.
It is really good, and it went well.
Okay.
You know, I think when you do these events, there's always lessons learned, and we always go back afterwards and we talk about things. And a few things we need to work on our end, and then we also had we still had a ton of people, even though all the messaging was put out and we told everybody and the advertisements. We still had a lot of people who decided they wanted to bring their weapons with them onto the base. So every gate guard, when you get up to the gate, asked if you were carrying any weapons, and we had a fair number of people admitted that they were, and they were just turned around and sent back home to dispose their weapons. So I just, when we're doing these events again and we're looking at doing more of these, really need people to just leave their weapons at home. Please don't bring them onto the base.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad they were honest.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on what Jason was talking about, we're always going to put out information via our social media platforms, as well as press releases that were sent to all of the local media partners and everything. And the NAS Pensacola Facebook page is going to have the information that you're going to need. They're going to tell you what gate to go on, what times these are going to be open, as well as, a list of prohibited items. So in the event that we're going to host something like this in the future, make sure you check those social media pages as well as our NAS Pensacola webpage. We're always going to update the information that you're going to need on that.
Okay, excellent. All right, so I went ahead and made sure that I was following you guys on Facebook as well. I want to make sure I'm doing my civil duty and staying up to date.
You haven't been all along?
So when you like something, you can like it, but you don't necessarily automatically follow it. So you have to make sure you hit follow so it pops up in the algorithm. You know.
Yeah.
So convoluted.
So many things with social media nowadays. That is just a growing entity all its own. And one of the things we've done at Pensacola, we've broadened our capacity with that. And we're trying to incorporate video pieces as well as all other kinds of information into our social media platforms and presence, so we can reach so many more, so many different people, because not all audiences look at and gather their news the same way.
So tell me, for those who are listening right now who might not be aware that they can actually access, we have a lot of new community members. I've discussed this over the past year or so. Mm-hmm. We have a huge influx of new community members here in Pensacola, in Santa Rosa County, as well as Escambia County, who may not realize that they can access the base ever. I know we were not closed because of COVID, and I think a lot of people assumed that it was even prior to that,
right,
due to a tragedy in 2019. But right now with access, where are we standing? Is it daily? Are we only open on the weekends? Just kind of confirm a little bit more with that.
Sure. So I just gave a little bit of background too. So, you know, we were one of the very few bases that was open to the public. It was us in Pearl Harbor from the Navy side that could be accessed by the public, mm-hmm, on a fairly regular basis. Of course, we had the terrorist attack in December 2019. But what a lot of people don't realize is also in that same 12-month span, there was a couple other attacks at other naval bases. There was an attempted attack at Corpus Christi in Texas, and there was one in Hawaii. So following that, the Navy did a very, very in-depth security review. And one of the things they realized was having base open access to the public could be considered a risk. So that's why we stopped doing open access policies. And Pearl Harbor did the same thing as well. So right now, to get access to NES Pensacola is just like any other Navy base in the world. You have to have a DOD ID card. So that's your active duty service members, your retirees, or your family members of those. You can be escorted on the base. So, for example, Jenna, if you have a friend of yours who is active duty or a retiree who has a DOD ID card, they can bring you onto the base with them. They have to be in the vehicle with you.
Sure.
And they have to remain with you at all times. And basically, they're vouching for you. Yeah. So we call it the Trusted Traveler Program. They have to know you. So it can't just be a complete stranger that you met on the side of the road and drive you onto the base. And then we had this open base access weekend this past weekend. Last year, we did it on one day in June for the Battle of Midway. And we're going to look at maybe trying to do some more of these in the future. And I'm going to give you the best public affairs answer I can. Is when that's going to happen is, I don't know.
Okay.
So
that's one of my favorite answers.
I know. So we're going to look at how things went this weekend. We're going to do a lot of evaluations and after actions. And ultimately, the decision for base access isn't even on NES Pensacola.
Right.
It falls with the much higher Navy commands. So
that's
we
true.
Had to get permission to open up this weekend. So to do anything more, we have to get more permission again. And to do it on a more regular basis, we would need additional information. And I will tell you, it's very taxing on the base to do that. Our security folks and our firefighters and emergency responders, they worked long, hard shifts this weekend to make that happen for the people. So it's very, very difficult to do on a regular basis without certain things happening that we don't have control over.
Well, on behalf of all of us, we thank you for all that hard work going into it. I know the little boy I babysit, he's been looking forward to being in a Blue Angel and flying as a Blue Angel. So mm-hmm. just getting into the Blue Angels, once you get into the NAS Pensacola Museum, I will tell you, it just made a little boy's dream come true. Yeah. So very
That's
much
awesome.
So, thank you.
I was out there on Saturday and, you know, I got the chance to walk through the museum now. And I have the opportunity to see that on a more frequent basis than a lot of people in the community. But looking around and seeing all these people enjoying this, that's something that we enjoy as well. You know, we're part of this community. We're part of Pensacola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, this base has got a long storied history here. So being able to showcase what it is that we do, even in the limited capacity that is currently available, that's something that we really, truly enjoy. So for me personally, just being able to look around and seeing all these individuals enjoying some of the things that NAS Pensacola has to offer was really, really nice, you know, for this weekend.
Oh, 100%. And speaking of all the things that NAS Pensacola has to offer, I know we could talk about a lot today, the diversity programs, community involvement, but I want to talk about training. You mentioned it when we were talking a little bit before the show, that there is so much training that happens on base that sometimes we're just not aware of really what goes on. Do you want to share a little bit more, Jason?
Sure, yeah. So we kind of laugh sometimes on the base because so much of the attention gets focused on the Blue Angels, who are amazing.
Oh,
we love the Blue Angels
in
the museum, which is a great place to visit. But in the grand scheme of things, the base is actually primarily a training base.
That's right.
It's the second largest training base in the Navy, second only to the boot camp. So, and we call ourselves the cradle of naval aviation because anybody who in any way touches an aircraft in the Navy or the Marine Corps starts their training off here in Pensacola. So wow. That includes the officers who are your pilots, your NFOs, and then all the way down to your enlisted who work on the planes or crew chiefs. And so all that training happens here on base. So every year we have about 60,000 people that graduate from the training here. And then we also, at any given day, there's about 6,000 people running on the base training. And a lot of people don't realize too is that Corey Station is part of NES Pensacola, and it's become a major hub for cryptological training. All the kids are super smart, way smarter than me and Bruce.
No, without question.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Tell me a little bit more. Cryptological training, I guess this has to do with technology, I'm going to say, or something. Are you not allowed to tell us because it's cryptic?
Oh, there's a cryptic's a really good way to explain that one. The Corey Station, a lot of what they're training on out there is stuff that we're just not allowed to talk about.
Oh. Well, wink, wink. So,
we can't say that they're the ones that they do look for people hacking into computer systems. They're the ones monitoring the computers. They're looking for hackers and things like that. They spend a lot of their days just sitting behind a computer.
We need more of them.
We do, and it's growing. That's one of the parts of the training here in Pensacola that has really grown over the last several years. Has been what the training that occurs over in Corey Station. So a lot of training, and that training is very significant because those students then, when they graduate here, they didn't go to the fleet, and they're feeling major responsibilities for the defense of our nation and the readiness of the Navy. So without that training that occurs here, it would have a significant impact on the readiness of our Navy and our military.
That's kind of a big weight to carry then for NAS Pensacola.
It is. So when we had things like the COVID that we had to battle through and make sure that training wasn't interrupted, it was a very much of a struggle for us. And we did really well during COVID. We managed to make things almost as much of a bubble as we could and protect our students and the active duty that were on the base to make sure that they were able to get out and support our fleet. Operational forces.
Now, kind of pausing for a real quick second before we talk about a couple of other things before I let you go. I see a couple texts coming in. I see you at 850-437-1620. You are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering what we are discussing, well, I want to let you know that NAS Pensacola's public affair officers, as well as our deputy public affair officer, Bruce, is here. So we have Jason Bortz and Bruce Kemmons here this morning on Pep Talk. So if you'd like to text in 437-1620. We'll talk about delivery drivers in just a second. Maybe Jason, you can address that.
Sure.
Let me see a couple of other texts and make sure I'll get that to you. Well, I was going to bring up something. 3 years. It's been 3 years since kind of we experienced our shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just expecting by the date, which would be April 1st, sending my kids back to school. Mm-hmm. How do you see 3 years later the growth or even just the impact COVID has had, or have we fully recovered? You just mentioned NAS Pensacola, yep. How you guys kind of had to switch gears, and then, you know, I mean, everybody said it, pivot with those times. How are we doing now, though?
To be honest, we did really well during COVID. It did not have the impact on us that we actually anticipated. We, like I said, we created almost like a bubble on the base. For those that were here during the time, you probably remember the enlisted and the students that were training on base, a lot of them were restricted to the base. They weren't allowed to leave the base.
That's right.
And the reason for that was we were trying to limit the exposure they were to potential COVID cases. So in the way the base is set up, a lot of their training is set up almost like a college campus where they live, they eat, and they go to school all in one little general area of the base. So we were able to really keep those limited as much as possible. And to be quite honest, COVID really did not impact the training. We never really had a major impact to it. It never affected us to a point where we had to shut down training permanently or for long periods of time. So right now, we're back to really to almost normal.
That's awesome.
Training. Yeah.
Well, that's really encouraging because, like you mentioned before, the training that happened at Corey Station and NAS Pensacola is crucial for the strength of our Navy and for our military. So I think that's awesome and really encouraging to hear, especially out of our public affairs office. I think that makes us really happy. So let's talk about this question that came in when it comes to addressing delivery drivers. Is there anything that a delivery driver kind of needs to know as they are approaching base?
Sure. So it is possible for delivery drivers to get permission to make deliveries on base. What they would have to do is contact our security office, and they can get that phone number from the NAS Pensacola website. They would just contact that, or they can always just send a question to our email, the public affairs email, which is PensacolaPAO@gmail.com, and we'll get them in touch with the right person. There's some background checks that have to be done. You have to be vetted, and there has to be certain agreements that have to be made. But it is possible for certain delivery drivers to get permission to come onto the base to make deliveries.
Okay, there you go. I hope that helped with your question, and thank you for texting in 437-1620. Moving forward a little bit, because we've got about 10 minutes so we can hang out and talk. Can we talk a little bit more about community involvement and how we're kind of connecting that with the base?
Sure. Actually, we have a really cool story I wanted to talk about.
This one's awesome.
Yeah. So last year we did this thing with the Wahoos. We all love the Wahoos.
Oh,
such,
yes.
They're so cool. And that's like the best stadium ever. And so we did a really cool thing with the Wahoos where we did jerseys that were designed to look like the same jerseys worn in the 1940s by the baseball team that Ted Williams played for.
Yeah.
Do you know who Ted Williams is, Jana?
No, I'm so sorry.
Okay, Ted Williams was probably one of the greatest baseball players who ever played the game of baseball. And he voluntarily joined the Marine Corps during World War II. And so he was training here and was part of the baseball team that was played. Anyway, so we took the jerseys and we designed them with the Wahoos to look like the ones that he wore.
Oh, that's and so cool.
And at the end of the season, they auctioned those jerseys off. And $11,000 went to the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, which is an unbelievable foundation. It's on the base. They take money and donations in, and when a sailor or a Marine has a financial or a hardship problem, for example, we have a lot of young students that are on the base. If they have to fly back home because a parent or a grandparent were sick and they can't have the money to fly home, the Navy Marine Corps Relief Foundation will give them the money to help them get back to where they need to go. Or if they're just having some type of financial hardship, the Navy Marine Corps Foundation will help them. They did a lot of work after the Hurricane Sally with people who had damages to their homes. So we did that last year, $11,000 we raised. And this year we're up in the game. We're going to go even cooler. We have new jerseys that we're working with designing, and these jerseys are going to have the NESP logo on the front. And on the sleeves, we're going to have patches from all the different tenant commands from the base. We have over 127 tenant commands that operate on the base.
So everybody thinks it's just Naval Air Station Pensacola. We're there, but inside of Naval Air Station Pensacola, there's so many different organizations. A lot of them, you know, designed for training future aviators or, you know, sailors or Marines that are getting ready to go out to the fleet and pursue their careers, you know. So having these patches on these uniforms is going to be awesome because it'll give the community a chance not only to see, you know, the NAS Pensacola, you know, logo emblazoned on these jerseys, but also individual patches from different commands, you know, that highlight that. And they're going to do the same thing with those, auction them again? Or?
They're going to auction them off again. And then also, because we are the cradle of Navy aviation, the players are, instead of putting the players' names on the back, they're going to have call signs on the back of their jerseys. But the rule is you cannot pick your own call sign.
Yeah, no, that's the rule.
Right. And so they're going to have a committee with the players, and they will select their call signs for each other. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's one of my favorite things.
This is going to be the backstory
of every call sign. Yeah. And when you get to like meet and hang out with people and hear them share their stories, you're like, okay, you're a bunch of goofballs who take life very seriously and serve our country, but at the same time, you're a bunch of weirdos as well, and I love it.
So the only rule is, of course, with the Wahoos, and we're gonna make sure, is that the call signs have to be appropriate, family appropriate.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be awesome.
That the selection of those call signs is going to be highly, highly entertaining. And we were talking about maybe having some of our, you know, at Naval Air Station Pensacola, some of our individuals involved in that process, just to make sure we keep it, you know, in the Navy tradition style, but as well as let these guys have some fun as well.
That's awesome. And so as that rolls out, we're getting closer to season.
Yeah, it's going to be in August is when the jerseys will be unveiled.
Okay.
So toward the end of the season. But yeah, it's going to be great. And this is just a great relationship we have with the Wahoos.
Yeah.
And we also have a great relationship with the Ice Flyers. And that just... the community in general. This is by far the best military community I've ever been a part of, and I know Bruce will say the same thing. And I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps all over the country, different communities. By far, Pensacola is the most supportive of the military. So we love doing stuff like this where we get to be part of that community, do something fun, and get out and have a great time.
You know, one of the other things that I have always found interesting about this is being in Pensacola, you know, we live here. You know, there's so many individuals that work on this base or that just come here to train on this base and then come back, you know, later simply because they liked it. We live here and we're invested in this community. So just being able to be a part of, you know, some of the local traditions and, you know, happenings that are going on, like the Ice Flyers, like the Blue Wahoos, you know, the Maguires parades, things like that. Allowing us to have the opportunity to volunteer for some of those sorts of things is just a lot of fun for all of these sailors that are on board over here.
Oh, absolutely. I know just this past weekend, we had military appreciation with our Pensacola Ice Flyers. Mm-hmm. And just going to a game last night, seeing how they take it very seriously. Yes. To honor veterans, military members, and their families. Mm-hmm. Gives you a sense of pride and ownership when it comes to understanding that we are very appreciative as well as involved. Mm-hmm. With the military community, and it's intertwined here in Northwest Florida, not only with, of course, NAS Pensacola and Corry Station, but we have Whiting, Eglin, Hurlburt, and so it's very extensive, but also blended as well. And so actually I wanted to talk real quick, I wrote down, let me flip back over, and Bruce and Jason, you can answer. So a little bit more before we get to wrap up, because I love that we have August to look forward to with the Wahoos, or Wahoo, but diversity programs. Yep. Let's touch on that real quick.
I'm going to let Bruce talk about that because he's actually led this month's program. He's done a great job with this.
Well, you know, the Navy, like all Department of Defense entities, you know, observes some of our heritage months quite well. And this month, you know, this month, it's been Women's History Month. Right. And so we provided some of our sailors over at Naval Air Station Pensacola the opportunity to talk about some of the trailblazing women aviators and sailors in general who've kind of set the tone, you know, moving forward. There was a time where just because of gender, you weren't allowed to participate in certain activities in the Navy or pursue certain job careers, you know, certain careers. Rates are what they're called in the Navy, or, you know what I mean? So from an enlisted perspective, not being able to fly on certain missions because you were a female and there weren't capabilities for that at the time. A lot of that stuff is beginning to get out of the way, and I thought highlighting some of the women who have created these opportunities that are really leading the way for it would be a nice way to showcase that. But each and every month is something that's observed, and each and every day at Naval Air Station Pensacola, you know, it's regardless of any, you know, gender or stipulations or racial or ethnic lines. This is an organization, you know, the United States Navy, that truly believes in the individual. Mm-hmm. And being part of that team. And so from that perspective, highlighting what individuals can do in the hopes of ensuring more and more people are aware that we've gone away from a lot of these different sorts of things, it's really important to the base as well as, you know, to the Department of Defense and the Navy.
I can probably assume it also helps with just even the mental health and stamina for individuals that serve as well.
Oh, without question. I think that showcasing individual talents, you know, as well, only serves to, you know, broaden that individual's sense of self-worth. And being part of the organization and or being part of an organization that truly cares about what it is that you're doing and how you're feeling, that's something that I think we all hold quite dear.
Oh, I love that. I really do. So we have about a minute left. Any message, Jason or Bruce, you want to share with our listeners and our community before we wrap up?
So just we had a great weekend. Look forward to maybe potentially doing some more open access. Please just continue to monitor our website or the museum's website and our social media sites for that. And never too early to start plugging the air show, which is going to be the first weekend in November. So we're super excited about that. And actually this year's theme is Women of Aviation. So we have a lot of different acts out there. It's going to be very diverse acts out there. It's going to be a great time. Last year we set the record with over 220,000 people in attendance. So maybe this year we can break that one as well. So
we like breaking records.
We do.
That's going to be over 2 days. It's November
It's usually second or fifth, I think.
It's the first weekend.
Is it
going to
be the first weekend? Okay. Excellent.
I couldn't remember the date on that.
I can't. That's too far for me to remember dates.
And it's still too early. We're
but
still
I know
in the planning.
With your job, you're already working on it.
We are.
we're still in the planning phases of that. But as you said, we're going to put all the information as it becomes available out on our social media platforms as well as the NAS Pensacola webpage. So make sure everybody tunes in, hits those up, and we'll see. We'll get the information out to you as soon as we can.
Excellent. Well, Bruce, Jason, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's great to meet you, and thank you for all that you do and have done for our country and for our community. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for letting us come on.
Absolutely. And hey, we've got more coming up here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Don't go anywhere, but if you'd like to text in, 850-437-1620. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.